Appreciate the kings being with us this morning. Let's invite the presence of God into this place. Mighty God, we love you and praise you and thank you. We pray that you'd lay your hand on everything that goes forth. God, have your way here. Touch and strengthen and bless. Give us wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Cause us, mighty God, to be blessed and to be a blessing in all that we do. Bless these as they teach today. Bless every home and family. Praise God. Praise God. And everyone said amen. Amen. Praise God. So through wisdom is a house builded. Through understanding, it is has a foundation laid or is established. And by knowledge, it's filled with all good and precious things. We are gaining. We're seeking for wisdom and understanding and knowledge today because we want to build our house, our familial house. And by that, we build the house of God. And we so appreciate the kings being with us. Come, take your liberty. And we appreciate you being with us. Let's give them a hand of welcome.
Well, thank you for having us, everyone. It's really an honor to be here. Like we said yesterday, we enjoy the fellowship. We feel right at home, really. That's the amazing thing about being in this amazing thing we call the church, is that wherever you go, even though you might not know every single person, you feel the Spirit emanating from them, and you can have that unity and closeness and bond without having to know them, your whole life. That's the beautiful thing. People that you could trust, people that you can ride the river with. So it's awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, we woke up this morning and opened the blinds to the lake, and we were just surprised. Like, we didn't expect to see what we saw. It's beautiful here. You guys are blessed. How many of you did the same thing? Just opened up. Yes. All right, so how many night owls do we have that went over their assessment results last night? Okay. How about early birds that decided to go over them this morning? All right, a few. How about people that just forgot to go over them altogether? All right, well, we're going to dig into them today. So you guys made notes, circled things, made observations, yeah? Okay, good. I heard people last night going, it's so accurate. It's like spot on. Did you guys see that? Yeah? You're like, this is us. Well, that's because it was your answers. So we're gonna dig right in today. We're gonna start off by talking about communication. Communication, we said this last night, communication and conflict resolution are two areas that are building blocks. Spiritual foundation is the foundation of all of it, right? But when we talk about some of our practical skill areas, communication and conflict resolution are really building blocks to the rest of the areas. So we really like to hone in on those two areas at our seminars. So we're gonna start off with communication.
And in counseling, really. It's the building block for fixing a lot of other issues too. Because if you can't talk about it, you can never come to realization what they need in the relationship. So one of the best points to begin to work and really optimize is the way we talk to our spouse, and doing it in a way that they can accept and understand. And that sometimes takes kind of an agreement between the two, that when we do this certain tool, you know, we can have this two-way clear communication. There's a quote that says, it takes two to speak the truth, one to speak and another to hear. And a lot of times what we see is we have a really good talker and not a very good listener. And vice versa, you know, or sometimes both of the people in the couple in the relationship are just talking past each other and not listening. So we're going to jump into some tools and just ways of communicating, so we know that the other person is hearing, and when we speak, we know we're being heard.
There was a study done of 50,000 couples. And in that study, they found that communication was the number one predictor of marital happiness. And again, it goes back to that idea that communication is one of those building blocks to all those other areas. So if you're unhappy about the finances, or you're unhappy about your sex life, or you're unhappy about parenting, communication is the one thing that can really permeate all those other areas. So communication is definitely that number one predictor of marital happiness. So that's why we want to kick off with that today. In your workbook, you'll see a page that we need to follow along in our workbook here. You'll see a page that talks about assertiveness and active listening. And we're going to go to the next slide here. So we're going to talk about assertiveness in this way. Assertiveness is our ability to ask for what we want or need in the relationship. So assertiveness is not aggression. It's not, your ability to really like jump in there and just get what you want. But assertiveness is the ability to ask for what you want or need. And again, remember we said last night, this page in your report that shows your levels of assertiveness, that's that first bar of the four dynamics. It's right after the summary page. So it shows the, you have your strengths and growth areas summary page, and then you have your relationship dynamics page. And so on that page, it shows you your levels of assertiveness. And remember we said last night that this is not a personality trait. So many times people get assertiveness especially mixed up with personality because they'll say, okay, if I'm an extrovert, then I can be more assertive. Not the case. Extrovert just means you get your energy from being around others. And if you're an introvert, you need that alone time to refuel. That doesn't impact your ability to be assertive. Assertiveness is asking for what you want or need in the relationship, in any relationship. And so our goal is to boost levels of assertiveness. So even if you had pretty high levels or average levels, we want to see that go up even higher. So that's what we're going to be working on. Because when we're assertive, we're more self-confident. And when we're more self-confident, we're more assertive. And that just, that cycle perpetuates itself.
Right. And then correlating the negative cycle that we all want to avoid is, of course, on the other side, avoidance and partner dominance. So these are the other two on the graph, dynamics that happen that we want to avoid. We want to see very low avoidance and partner dominance on your graph. So what happens in a relationship when people aren't asking for what they need and want in the relationship? They feel dominated generally by their partner because there's a lot of expectations that are held by the other person that aren't being talked about. And then when the stuff blows up, they feel controlled. They feel like they can't get what they want in the relationship. So generally, you have very high levels of partner dominance. And then, and a lot of times too, guys will feel this because remember, a lot of times we're going to be broad brushing things like general, because there are things that are kind of general guy things and general girl things. But of course, either one can have these, this can happen to either person. But generally, guys, when they feel stressed, wall up, like we talked about last night, they kind of close down and they just won't say what they want, won't talk until the pressure gets so big that he might then start talking or blow up or whatever. And so this is kind of an avoidance. So we see this a lot. I have a man who's very quiet. He won't talk. He avoids all conflict. But the wife feels very dominated by his silence because she can never get across to him. And she's, of course, pursuing. And he will never open up and he won't talk to her. So she feels very dominated. And because she's always talking to him, he feels very dominated because he can't feel like he can express it and be accepted for what he wants and says. So you see that there's a cycle going on of this avoidance and then partner dominance, and both people are feeling dominated by the other person. So this is a very common thing. And the way we get out of this cycle right here is we start practicing assertiveness. And assertiveness is a very good thing. I'm an introvert. Like Chris has said, it has nothing to do with your ability to speak to people or the skills of conversation. It just means that you get your energy by being by yourself. You know, I like going to coffee shops and reading or whatever, you know. So, but we want assertiveness in the relationship to be able to say, hey, babe, I really want this. So we'll talk about some tools in just a minute of how to start boosting our assertiveness. And then once we get good at asking for what we want, this feeds our self-confidence that, you know, that wasn't so bad. I asked for what I needed, and she didn't, like, react like crazy. And you know, I could probably do this again. Self-confidence goes up, and then you ask again. And this is really good. And it starts building this positive cycle, so we don't have to avoid anymore. And therefore, like, our avoidance and partner dominance go down. So that's the goal with these. That's what we want to see in our relationships.
And a quick note of clarification on partner dominance. The partner dominance there on your graph, it's the extent to which that person feels dominated by the other. So say, like, the wife has high levels of partner dominance. That means she's feeling highly dominated by the husband, and then vice versa. So partner dominance, by the way, is not the idea of the person who leads in the relationship. Partner dominance is an unhealthy dynamic, and we see this across the board, regardless of culture, et cetera, that couples who have high levels of partner dominance are not very happy. So we want to reduce avoidance and partner dominance. We want to boost assertiveness and self-confidence. And like Adam said, the way to do that is to work on asking for what we want or need in the relationship.
Any questions regarding this graph? Anybody have questions? I thought I saw a hand, but someone could have been scratching their head. Don't put on a hat.
All right. In your workbook, you have this page that talks about assertiveness and active listening. These are two primary skills that we're going to be working on. But before we do that, in order to do that, what we'd like you to do is to flip to the next page. And there's an activity called creating a wish list. Now, each couple only has one workbook, so Sister Pam put extra pages in your envelope or in your workbook so that you would have blank pages as well. We'd like one of you to go ahead and utilize the wish list, and we'll tell you how to do that, but the other person can use a blank sheet of paper, okay, because you each need a wish list. This is not a joint activity to begin with. This is a separate activity. So one of you use the blank sheet, and one of you use the wish list. And it's page 6 in your book there. Okay?
So here's the instruction for this activity. We want you to write down 3 things that you would like more of or less of in your relationship. All right? Simply more of or less of in your relationship. And this is, of course, separate. You're not doing this together. This is what you would like more of or less of in the relationship.
We can go back one because I don't want you guys to get confused. There we go. Okay. So we're going to turn the music up. We're going to give you a chance to write that down. Don't do it together. This is you on your own thinking of things you want to be different in your relationship. I want more of this, or I want less of this. Okay. So you can think of it in terms of I wish, because it's a wish list. So if I had 3 wishes in our relationship, here's what they would be. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Yes, only three. Eat for each person. They're on number seven. Slow down. Who's done?
How about another minute? Yeah? We'll be done in about a minute.
You will only get three wishes, so make them good.
Got your three wishes written down? Yeah. Okay. All right. So we're going to get a chance to practice our assertiveness and the other person practice the active listening. But before we do that, we're going to kind of demonstrate how it's done. We need a volunteer. Just to tell us one of your wishes, not all of them. So just one. It doesn't have to be a super deep wish.
But the best way to do this is to do it with some people, and then you guys are going to practice.
Yeah.
But is there anyone brave enough?
Was that a volunteer over here? Yeah? You volunteering? Who would like to volunteer? It's not scary, I promise. Okay, all right, come on up. You and your husband, yeah.
Yeah.
She volunteered for the both of you.
She's going to get as far away as possible before.
No. Awesome. Okay. So you guys can have awesome. A seat here.
Good job.
You can sit here. There you go. All right.
Huh?
Go ahead.
Okay. Perfect. Okay, so do you remember your wishes?
No, she's gonna be the assertive person. Yeah. Okay, so you have a wish to share.
Okay.
All right. So what we're gonna have you do is you're gonna turn to your husband. So I want you to kind of turn your chairs toward each other. So your body language is engaged. And so you're gonna be the speaker, okay? And we'll go ahead and put the script here on the board. So your job is to let him know what your wish is. So you'll just use those words, I wish that, and then you'll share your wish, okay? And then the second piece that you're going to do is, if that happened, I would feel blank, okay? And it could be any feeling word. It's your feeling. You're just letting him know that if this wish actually came true, here's how I'd feel, okay? Now your job as the active listener is to really engage with what you're hearing her say. You don't have to agree with her. Okay, so you're just going to let her know what you're hearing her say, both in terms of the wish and the feeling.
Oftentimes, people go into conflict resolution mode at this point. Like, you would say your wish, and they'd be like, wait, hold on. But, you know, like, so this is only, like, listening, and then you're going to repeat. Try the act of listening. So.
Okay, ready?
Yeah, okay. My first line. I wish that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I wish that, this is still so, like, strange. right. So I would really wish for you to help me with the kids and getting them ready for bed and taking baths and getting everyone into bed.
Nice. Good. Excellent.
Okay. Yay. And if that were to happen tonight, as we're getting ready for church tomorrow, then I would feel less stressed about all the stuff that I have to do, and it would just make me feel loved because I like, what is the acts of service?
Mm-hmm. That's good. Well done. That was awesome.
Did you get all that?
Very good.
Every bit of it.
All right. He said every bit of it. All right, so give him the mic. So go ahead and let her know what you heard her say. You don't have to repeat it word for word. In fact, it's better that you're not robotic repeating it word for word. Just let her know what you're hearing her say, both in terms of the wish and then how that would feel for her if it happened.
I am hearing you to say
that you wish you had more help with the children at night. What time does night start? Because I'm off duty till night. Then I have to help in order to make this wish come true. With baths and brushing their little puny tiny baby teeth and putting on their pajamas and getting them ready for bed. And if you were to have that help, you would feel less stressed about everything that you have to do.
Good. Well done.
So,
nice.
Go ahead. Okay. So the third part of this interchange was actually when you nodded your head, yes. Now, you, of course, didn't say everything word for word, and that's not what the point is. We're not robots, and you would feel like, oh, he's just saying it back to me so he could talk. So this interchange was really good. Now, when you nodded your head yes, that's your, you know, silent signal that, yeah, you got it. Sometimes, though, when we do need to work on our listening, you'll see the person go, like, tilt their head, like, and that's really your time, your opportunity to go ahead and start again and say, no, I said something else, and then doing it again. Mm-hmm. And that's really important, so, because this is really to make sure that we, when we express, we're also knowing that that person is hearing. So that's the very important part. So good job. You guys did super good.
Well done. Yeah, let's give them a hand. All right. Thank you for demonstrating. So we'd like you guys to do just what they did. That was awesome. We want you to share. One of you will be the speaker. The other will be the active listener. And you can switch back and forth. Now, the key here is not to go into conflict resolution mode yet. You're not trying to solve the problem. They're not figuring out, okay, well, maybe we can make this happen by setting an alarm for 7 p.m. And then, you know, they're not trying to figure it out. Okay. So that's what we'd like you to do. One of you is the speaker, one's the active listener, and then you'll switch, okay? So you guys kind of, if you'd like, you can pull your chairs away from the table so you have some private space, kind of get comfortable, face each other. All right. Thank you.
So about one more minute. So I know that you guys can finish talking about this at home. Isn't it interesting how quickly you could get into a very deep and awesome conversation? I mean, we have done this, and it does really help with that. So we'd encourage you to continue this sort of activity. We'll show you how to kind of input it into your day to make this something that you do often, because these are the building blocks of a really great marriage, is that open communication of what we need and what we want in the relationship. Now, how many people had a kind of a difficult time locating how they would feel if that happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A few people.
And a lot of people, instead of actually giving an emotion word, they go like, I'd feel like you cared more. That's really not an emotion. And so we would give, you know, what it would be like, whatever. But try to focus on that emotion, because it makes it more you specific and not what they're doing or what they're not doing. So, and we didn't mention this, but there's like this really funny looking graph of a whole bunch of emotion words in your workbook that you could kind of look at for inspiration.
Yeah, we like to include this. We actually have a magnet with all these emotions on it in our office on the coffee table where we do counseling, because so many times people, children and adults alike, have a hard time coming up with the actual emotion word. And our demo couple here did such a good job. Sister Melody, right? Yeah, you did such a good job coming up with the actual emotions. She said, I would feel less stressed. I would feel more loved. And that was her actually expressing the emotions rather than like, oh, I would feel like we had a better relationship. And because that's not emotions, right? So really try to tune in with that feeling, that emotion that you would experience if that wish came true, if it actually happened. Notice that with this tool, you're not blaming. You're not saying, well, you always do this, and that makes me feel angry. It's a positive vision casting. It's saying, hey, I really wish that it could look this way. And if that happened, I would feel, and you're giving a positive emotion. Or saying less of a negative emotion, like right. Less stress.
And the beauty of this way of doing it, too, is you're not telling her what she's not doing. Right? If she says, I wish that you would, well, I don't, whatever your wish is, I can't say, no, you don't. You don't wish that. There's nothing to really argue about. Right? But oftentimes when we ask what we want, there's blame involved. And then immediately our wall comes up and we're about ready to go to battle, right? Sword comes out. So this is a way of doing it in a way that's non-confrontational, because your spouse really does want what's best for you. You're a team. Yeah. You chose her from all the other people, or him. So this is a chance to work collaboratively on each other in a way that's non-offensive, mm-hmm. so that we can, you know, make this thing the best we can possibly make it.
Amen.
So let's talk about that. What was it like to focus on being the active listener? When you were not in the speaker's role, you were just listening. What was that like for you? Yeah.
It was surprising.
Yeah, surprising. Why so?
Because I didn't realize that's what he... I had no clue that's what he wanted from me.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Good. Yeah.
That's perfect.
You put yourself in a position to receive and to actively absorb and listen, and you learn new things. And because maybe, and I don't know your husband, maybe he's not usually the one that would be more assertive and speak up. And so now he's put in that position to actually be the speaker, and you get to learn something. It's surprising. Yeah. What else? How else was it to be the active listener? So good.
Yeah.
So good. Yes. I hope everyone heard that. That was so well said. Yes. All right. How was it, how did it feel for you to actually be listened to in this way when you were the speaker and your spouse reflected back what they heard you say? How was that? Other reflections in general about the activity or how it was like to be listened to. What did this exercise provide that actually might strengthen your relationship in the long run? How could you see this working? Like, do you think you'll actually like practice saying "I wish" every day, or what do you think? Oh yes, go ahead.
I was like, what?
I think it's effective communication.
Huh?
Closed loop communication. Mm.
So good.
That's so important in this exercise. Mm-hmm. I find a lot of times people are talking, but nothing's being heard.
Mm-hmm.
So that's such a beautiful part of it.
Yeah.
What are you gonna say, Susan?
When you're dealing with this, when you're not angry, and it's almost like making a list, you're not in conflict mode already.
Yes.
So you're able to communicate properly, and they can understand because you're not upset about it at this point.
Right. Yes. Right. It's preventative in a lot of ways. Yeah, that's really good.
That is a perfect segue into our homework for this section.
Yes.
So you mentioned you're doing this in a setting when you're not angry, right? And I asked, are you going to actually just pull out the wish list language when you're, you know, every day in the middle of an argument? Most likely not, especially if you're not practicing it. Okay, so we want to give you a homework assignment. And it's called the Daily Dialogue, okay? In your workbook, I think it's the next page there.
So the Daily Dialogue is a very simple tool, but it's very, very powerful. We'll explain it in a second. But there's just three questions that that we would like you, well, it's daily dialogue, right? So we'd encourage people. We say, you know, we don't have to be militant about doing it every day, but make sure that you just do it more days than not. That's what we suggest. So when we have couples that we're seeing for their marriage, this is one of the things that we do when we assign as homework for, like, as long as we see them, because it starts the communication, like we said. So the three questions are, what did you most enjoy about a relationship today? Or what went well in our relationship today? And notice it's, because when you're just in conversation, and let's say, you know, one of the spouses comes home from work or whatever, and you're just like, how was your day? Great. And you go on and you do whatever your thing is. And a lot of times it just kind of stops there. The communication stops there. So what's important about this first question, it's not how did your day go or what went well in your day. It's what went well in our relationship today. And that makes us talk about, you know, I really liked how you packed my lunch today, and I was really thankful for that note that you put in there. That was really sweet. That made me smile. Right? That could sound really mushy to you guys, but like little things like that.
He does that for me several days per week.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful.
Brownie points right there. The second question is, what didn't go so well? And there's different wording, but this is the gist of it. What didn't go so well in a relationship today? Now, this could be a fight. But it doesn't have to be, right? This is where you would use the wish list language. You know, I wish that today, before you just ran out the door, that you would have gave me a hug before we left. And if that happened, I would feel more thought about, or I'd feel more cared for, cherished. I'm just making something up. But this is your chance to do that. And then when your spouse hears the language that you used was the wish list, you can go in. And at first, it might feel super robotic, like, this is so weird that we're doing this. But after a while, there'll be that free interchange of listening and active listening. You listen to very good communicators. And a lot of times what they'll do is they'll repeat back a few words of what the person said to let them know they are heard, and it really makes you feel good. So this is a technique that a lot of people use. A lot of people don't use it in marriage. So it's so important. So you would repeat back to them, you know, I heard you say that you would like me to hug you before you leave. And so you do that, and then the other person would have a chance. What didn't go so well in a relationship today? And sometimes there was nothing bad, right? Like, I can't think of anything. Today was just a really good day. And you don't have to think of something, you know, terrible to bring up. But it's just, it gives us that opportunity to talk about things that we might have been suppressing or might have been not talking about. Because I heard a quote the other day, and it was really good. It said, the barrier to intimacy, or the buffer to intimacy, are secrets. And not to say you're doing something behind their back, but what you're not saying, what you're not asking for, what you're avoiding talking about, mm-hmm. right? And so if you want that intimate relationship, if you want that really deep understanding and trust, there has to be that free interchange of thoughts and wishes and ideas. And so it's so vitally important. So the last question of the daily dialogue is, how can I be helpful to you? How can I be helpful? And that could be anything. That could be helping with what the wish was, or it could be something completely different. You know, man, tomorrow I'm really stressed out because I have this big presentation. I was wondering if you could maybe like proofread it for me real quick, just to make sure I didn't read or, you know, forget something. So just in your practical, and this is just practical conversational skills that we try to do every day. Now, some people say, well, we keep forgetting. I had a couple that we were seeing, and they were not very good at conversation, and they had really high avoidance. He would just disappear as soon as he got home because he was overloaded. He worked a very high-stress job, and home to him was his safe haven, but he just wanted to shut down. He wanted to turn off the lights and just sit there like, you know, and just recoup. But she didn't feel loved. She felt like he was avoiding her. So over the course of, you know, the sessions, we taught him this trick or this tool of doing this thing. And the first week, they really didn't do it because they forgot. We're like, come on, we gave you the tools. This will really work. You know, we've seen it work over and over and over with people, you know, and it's changed marriages around. Just this simple little thing here. And so I said, how about we put it in your schedule? Because he was a highly regimented person. Like, to the point that, well, I don't want to get too detailed, but he was very, 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 very regimented. I said, so tell me your regiment before you go to bed. And so he described it. And I said, perfect. Now, where can we put this in so you cannot do this last thing on your list before you go to bed? This is the new law. Until you do the daily dialogue. He's like, really? And they started doing it, and it really changed their life. So it's just it's a tool, but it's a very, very, don't underestimate it. And it's really awesome if you could just put it in your schedule somewhere, if it's after dinner or wherever, and just exercise that.
And a quick note, too, about the last question. Sometimes people want to put some complicated task in there. You know, and Adam gave the example of proofreading a presentation. That's a fine thing to ask, but that's going to require some mental energy and time. It doesn't always have to be a task. It can be, well, how can I be helpful to you today? You could just give me a hug. You know, let's cuddle on the couch for a few minutes. I tell Adam sometimes, can you put toothpaste on my toothbrush? Like, that just makes me feel so thought of.
I have no clue why.
And cared for. It's like, aw, he put my toothpaste out for me.
5 seconds to make her feel that way. I'll take it.
But it can be something simple. It doesn't have to be a huge task. Okay, so keep that in mind. So we encourage you, do the daily dialogue, aim for more days than not. So if you forgot yesterday, all the more reason to do it today. Okay, how many of you are going to try to put this into action, daily dialogue? Awesome.
Perfect.
All right. We're going to move on to conflict resolution. So this is the second building block, right? Communication and conflict resolution. So a majority of couples, about 78%, report that they go out of their way to avoid conflict in their relationship. So if you had high levels of avoidance, this is you fall into the 78% here. What do you guys think of this strategy, avoiding conflict? You think it's a helpful thing for your marriage? Yeah, I mean, can it be helpful? Yeah, to an extent.
What were you going to say?
I think it would be very bad because you never get what you really want, and you have unresolved issues.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so right.
It gets bottled up, right? Yeah. What were you going to say? Ah, I'm glad you said this. Yeah, do you have a rationale?
Well, I think if you've had a bad stretch and you're on a good stretch, you know, it could be a time to kind of keep the momentum going a little bit,
Is
one example. Mm-hmm. Or if it's a high stress time, like you have a deadline or something,
Yes, I'm glad you said that. That's awesome. Yeah. We actually have a tool for that, and I don't think we included it in your workbook this time, but it's called Taking a Time Out, and this is actually really good timing because before we get into the 10 steps, which we are going to work on today, sometimes it's not the right time to just bust out a 10-step conflict resolution model and try to solve the issue. Right?
So, like, say you've been away most of the week, right? Stuff has been building up, and you're on your way to church, and you start getting into it. Now is not the right time to get it fixed, right? So we do need to address. We can't avoid all of our conflicts. Mm-hmm. We have to get those sorted. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, on your way to church or on your way to a meeting with someone or whatever, is most of the time not a great time to get into a disagreement about something, especially if it's a deep-seated, you know, it's been happening a long time. And so Chris is going to talk about the timeout.
So we'll briefly explain it, and then if you want the actual copy of the timeout tool, we can email it to you.
Yeah, go ahead and just write down the steps. It's a really good one.
And another time when it's actually really helpful to use the timeout, and like this brother was talking about, sometimes it's just not the right time to solve it because it's like midnight and you're so mentally exhausted, you don't have the emotional energy to resolve this. And some people will use the scripture, you know, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, and say that you have to knock this out and solve it before you go to sleep. And the scripture just says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Like, don't be wrath. Don't have wrath toward each other. So if you can actually use this timeout tool at that moment at midnight, it actually can resolve the wrath part of this, okay? You won't be fuming at each other. You'll actually have peace in your relationship and go to bed on the same team and then wake up at the scheduled time to solve the issue. It's a win-win because you're abiding by scripture and you're resolving it in a time when you have your prefrontal cortex is actually functioning well, okay? So the timeout. There's 5 steps. Step 1 is recognize your need for a timeout. Okay, so when you notice that you're, Oh, good. Okay, sorry. I thought I didn't put it in there. Okay, so it's in your packet.
Nice.
What page is it? Awesome. There you go.
Got it.
So that'll be for homework. So recognize your need for a timeout. Do you notice yourself getting red in the face, clenched fists?
Oftentimes we recommend this. We teach this tool to people who have they feel themselves getting angry a lot, and if they start shouting or something like that when they're trying to figure something out, that's not advantageous for conflict resolution. So what we say is, you know, recognize what their body does when they need a timeout or when they need a breather. You don't have to call it a timeout. That's what you do to your kids, right? You could say, you know, taking a breather, take a minute, whatever your wording is, agree on the wording so they recognize what you're saying. So recognize what your body's doing. Recognize your need for the timeout. Request the timeout. Hey, I need a breather. Mm-hmm. And then relax and calm down. That's so, so important.
And on relax and calm down, pick an activity that will actually help you relax and calm down. That might be going to sleep. That might be, how many of you actually find it kind of therapeutic to like wash the dishes and process something internally? Yeah, okay. Taking a walk. And there's a lot of research behind this, but when you're walking, you're bilaterally stimulating your brain. So it's left foot, right foot, left, and that's right brain, left brain, right brain. That's so helpful for you. That's why you see people who are like walking and talking, and they find it to be de-escalating. So taking a walk can be so helpful, praying about it, doing some deep breathing, but pick an activity that helps you relax and calm down.
Come back in.
Yes. On step 2, when you request the timeout, there's a little bullet point, and that's actually the most important bullet point in this whole entire tool. Suggest a time when you think you'll be ready to resume. So I would write in there, when you request the timeout, call the time in at the same time. So you're saying, okay, can we come back to this at blank time? Because the risk of calling a timeout is that the person who chases, how many of you are the chaser in your relationship? You're like the one that like attacks and nags and right? Yeah. Okay. I am. And so if he like wants to call a timeout,
I'm the avoider.
So I'm going to probably get really anxious if he wants to call a timeout and not designate a time in, because then I'm going to go, but we're never going to solve this.
And she feels abandoned and stressed out that we're never going to talk about it. And I'm seeking solace, you know, and we've seen this abused as well, like time out, time out, time out, time out. They never get a chance to fix it because it's always a time out. They never get that conflict. So you can't abuse it. You have to set a time to come back in. So when you say, hey, I know we don't have time to discuss this right now. Let's come back to this in an hour after whatever.
And it could be a quick timeout. It could be 10 minutes. I'm going to take a walk. In 10 minutes, can we come back and we can resolve it? But it could be like maybe it's exam time and you're studying for the GRE or whatever. And you're like, man, like there's no way that we can resolve this right now. And it's contextual. I mean, if this isn't, you know, an issue that has to be resolved, make it a priority. But maybe it's okay that you guys talk about when you could possibly, you know, move and sell the house and buy another house. But this month is not the time to talk about it. Schedule it. So that bullet point there suggests a time when you think you'll be ready to resume. Schedule that conversation to happen so that the other person knows, okay, this is on our radar. I can calm down and know that we're going to come back to this. Okay? So steps 3 and 4 go together. Pick an activity to relax and calm down. And step 4, put yourself in the other person's shoes. So remember what's important. How are they feeling right now? What's their perspective? How did they get that perspective? And then step 5, resume, okay, at that scheduled time, that little bullet point under number 2, that comes down to step 5, resume the conversation. And when you resume it, you can use the 10-step model that we're going to teach you. Before we teach you the 10-step model, we want to give you a little preface here, and then we're gonna take a break, actually, before we go into the 10-step model. So we're going to preface, we're going to do a break, and then we'll do the 10-step model. So, you know, you hear couples talk about compromise, and compromise sometimes implies that someone has to lose something in order for there to be a solution. It doesn't have to necessarily be a compromise. If you can use this 10-step model, it might be what we call collaboration, where you're bringing all your ideas to the board, they're bringing all their ideas to the board, and you guys can find a win-win, a solution where your team wins, and it's not me winning or him winning. So we like to think of that. We don't really use the word compromise very much. And there are times when you do need to maybe, you know, back off a little bit of your extreme opinion in order to, you know, accomplish something. But in general, we like to think of it as a collaboration rather than a compromise. Okay. All right. So We're gonna go ahead and break here. We'll come back in. Is 10 minutes a good break? 10 minutes? Okay. So we'll come back at, my clock says 9:10. So 11:10. So we'll come back at 11:20.
books, because you know how many books are out there? Thousands on this.
Thousands of worthless.
Sure.
Deep.
Yep. And so where do you, like, it's decision overload.
Everyone, let's come back in. Sorry to break up the amazing conversations. So, an important note to make about our marriages and conflict is that it's not the amount of, it's not how many arguments that we do have in a relationship for happiness, but it's how those arguments are handled.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't, you can have lots of different little, you know, disagreements, but if you handle them in a good way, what it does is it doesn't push the person away, but it builds trust with the person.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that we're getting on the same page, and after a while you won't have very many things to, you know, argue about, but
mm-hmm.
This is such, what we're going to do, this next tool is going to be such a helpful tool for gaining trust and getting on the same page on a lot of areas in a relationship.
So you heard us say, you know, if you handle it well, if you use a healthy conflict resolution model, what does handling it well look like, right? Practically speaking, how can we put that into action? So first, we're going to talk about some conflict resolution tips. We'll go to the next slide. I kind of breezed over this already. Yep. Okay, so some conflict resolution tips. Use good communication skills. We just learned the wish list. So don't jump into a conflict and try to resolve it if you haven't prefaced by using good communication skills. Avoid mind reading. Don't assume, right? Assumptions can be such a tumor in our conflict resolution. So don't assume that the other person thinks something or wants something or did something. Be open in your communication about it and not assume. Focus on the issue, not the person. So often we get caught up in that trap of blaming someone and focusing on their weaknesses and really try to focus on the issue itself that you're trying to solve. Take your partner seriously. So many times, too, we see this in session where someone's bringing up a very serious issue for them, and the other partner just starts laughing at them. We're like, oh, like they're finally pouring their heart out, especially if it's that one that's been avoiding and they decide to be assertive and they bring up this issue they want to solve together. And the other partner just like looks at them in contempt or laughs.
Or just ignores what they said and just talks over them.
So take your partner seriously. Stay specific and in the present. Don't go into rabbit trails. Well, in the past, blah, 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 right? There is a part where we're going to talk about ways that haven't worked. So let's not try to solve it the way it hasn't worked. But that's very structured. So try to stay in the present and on each step when you're trying to resolve the issue. Avoid superlatives. What's a superlative? Always, never, good. They're all encompassing words. Superlatives are most of the time not true. I don't want to say they're never true. But superlatives are not usually helpful in our conflict resolution, in our communication. So avoid using those always, never, everybody, nobody, all the time, nothing, okay? Because the immediate response is, that's not true. I have done that before. Okay, and that's not a good way to solve the issue. And then stay calm and look for win-win solutions and use the 10 steps for resolving conflict. So we're going to actually give you a chance to go through the 10 steps, and we're going to do it very systematically. So in your workbook, I think it's page 13, you have the 10-step model there. What we'd like for you guys to do, we're going to give you a chance to, we're going to turn up the music for a few minutes, and I'd like you guys just to do steps 1 through 4, so don't go beyond that. Step 1, you all did that. You set a time and place for the discussion that's right here, right now, today. Step 2, define the problem and be specific, okay? So it could be one of your wishes. That's a good way to do this. You know, the wish was that we'd have more of this or less of this, and we don't have that right now. So that's the problem. And when we say be specific, don't say our problem is communication. That's not very specific, right? What is the communication problem? Well, we need more assertiveness and to talk. We need to be able to talk every day about what we want in the relationship. That's more specific. Or... what's another example? Okay, so you guys probably have lots in your wish list. So be specific about that. And then steps 3 and 4, when it's partner 1 talking about the ways that you contribute to the problem, don't say what your spouse does to contribute to the problem, okay? Say what you've done to contribute to the problem. And even if this is a problem that's more about your spouse, you know, like I wish you would help more with the kids at night, right? But maybe how have you contributed to that issue? How have you made it worse? Maybe you were nagging. I've done that. Maybe you blame. So come up with ways that you make the problem worse, and you each do that, okay? And then step 4, list past attempts that you've used to resolve this issue that have not been successful. So that way we don't try to use those ones again. And it could be that maybe you haven't tried to solve it, and so avoidance has been the MO, okay? And then, so you can write that down for number 4.
And also, you might not choose the most difficult conflict right now in this setting, because for obvious reasons. So choose something that maybe you have been trying to figure out, or maybe is a source of, you know, contention sometimes. But it's not super deep in your relationship. So start off with that. We're going to give you a few minutes. We're going to play some music. And go ahead and try to find something that you can work on together. So go ahead and pull that out.
right, you guys got steps 1 through 4? Kinda, working on it. Almost done. Okay, so we'd like someone to volunteer to come on up, and we're just going to help out with step 5 so that we can kind of model how this is done so that everyone else can do it on their own. So if someone would be willing to come up and...
Do we have a brave soul?
Let us use you for this example.
Does everybody have deep issues they're working through right now?
How many of you picked, like, on a, like, maybe easy, medium, difficult scale? How many of you picked, like, an easy issue to work through? Yeah, over here? Can you guys come on up? Would you guys
come
be
on,
willing?
Josh.
Yeah. That's okay. You don't.
It's fine.
That you weren't supposed to have a solution yet. Okay.
Only 1 through 5.
Did you guys? You want to grab? Actually, can one of you grab your packet? Because you only and a pen. Yeah. Are you right-handed? Yeah. Yeah. So maybe he can be the writer. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
I'm doing well.
Thank you for volunteering. Thank you for volunteering. All right, so remind us of your names. Lindsay.
Joshua.
And Joshua. Awesome. Thank you, Lindsay and Joshua. All right, so you guys have already done steps 1 through 4. Yeah? Okay. So go ahead and, Joshua, since you so graciously volunteered, can you go ahead and share with us the issue that you're working out? And you don't have to tell us steps 3 and 4, but just tell us what the problem is in step 2.
Clean car.
Okay.
He hates it, and I am. What do you want me to say?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, just he can't stand it, and I keep a terrible car, but I've always kept it. But now I blame it on the kids,
because
I've got 2 kids, and like if there's even like a Chick-fil-A fry, it just like our whole night can be ruined. Okay. It's not that dramatic, but kind of.
Sure.
He hates it, and that is a big source of fighting in our home.
Intense moment of fellowship.
Yes. Just 2.
2 kids.
Yeah. I don't know about immaculate.
But okay. But
some sort of
it's
order.
Her car or the joint car?
It's my car.
Okay. Well,
it's what you say. You say it's my car.
She has a different car, like regularly.
Yeah.
So I sell cars. So.
Gotcha. Okay. So this is kind of the family car.
Yeah.
That you drive
for the week.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So the problem we're trying to solve is that you would like the car to be cleaner.
Cleaner.
Okay, cleaner than it is right now.
Yeah.
Okay, on a regular basis.
Right. No,
but
dirty.
We have a different opinion on clean. Because if I have clothes or shoes or whatever is in there, I don't think that's dirty. It's just cluttered, but I'm okay with that.
Gotcha.
But he is not okay with that.
Okay.
And I take like the food out of my car, and I feel like I've done a great job.
Some of the food.
Okay.
So see?
Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay.
And so this is really good, guys.
Yeah.
I'm really happy that they're being vulnerable, but all of us have these things in our lives. And it's normalizing it for all of us. It's not just this. I mean, all of us have that, right? So it's, thank you, guys. Yeah. Okay, so let's go.
We're going to go into brainstorm mode, which is, you obviously probably know what that is. And we're just going to, like, throw some suggestions down, like, how can we remedy this? How can we remedy this? And also, you guys put down the past attempts that weren't successful, right?
Kind of.
Okay. So what were those past attempts, or did you guys?
I've done the green and clean. Okay. You know, Stephen Covey, show the green. Come show her what a green clean car is.
Yes.
I've tried cleaning the car. I pay people to clean the cars.
Could you
I've given her bigger cars. I've given her smaller cars. I've put trash bags in the cars. But there's always diapers and different things here and there.
Can I say that the car we drove down here, he cleaned it and there were ants in it.
Okay. I want to rewind just one moment there. You were mentioning kind of some of the symptoms, and you mentioned that there are always diapers and other things in the car. Can you kind of revise that a bit?
I wouldn't say always. There is somewhat of an attempt to remove some of that stuff.
Okay.
But there's usually clutter.
There's usually clutter.
Yep.
Yeah. Is that fair to say there's usually clutter?
Yes, that's fair.
Okay. That's so you guys agree.
And then if I swap her out of a car, then it costs, you know, my guys have to spend another 4 hours deep cluttering the car and cleansing it, and gotcha. ServPro comes out and, you know, and they always get really, really disappointed when I tell them I'm giving my wife this to drive, and they half-heartedly clean it now. So, yeah, quality control is just...
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Okay, so you guys have clearly defined the issue, okay?
Yes, we have.
You have differing opinions about what clean is, but that's okay because you agree that usually there's clutter in the car, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what we're trying to do is find a solution for there to be less clutter in the car on a regular basis, mm-hmm. okay? Not that it has to be immaculate.
Yes.
Yeah, not that you have to agree what clean is or not,
right.
But that there can be less clutter than there is now because you both agree that there is usually clutter in the car on a regular
right.
basis. Okay, perfect. So we're going to start brainstorm session. We're going to set the timer, okay? Mm-hmm. We'd like you guys to come up with as many ways as possible that you can solve this problem. It doesn't matter if they're solutions that really would work or not, okay? So I want you to have fun with it.
So don't judge. Don't judge, because generally when someone throws out a brainstorm idea, like, are you serious? No. If it's thrown out, it's, we just throw it out there. And sometimes at the end, we'll kind of meld two together, right? So so no judging on the ideas,
yeah.
All right?
Okay. How many of you have ever done, like, a brainstorm session in a business meeting, right? Okay, and the whole point is you cannot judge as that brainstorm session is happening, right? It's like just put all the ideas on the board. It could be funny ideas. It can be ideas that we know would never work, but it sparks an idea for another idea, okay? So that's what we're doing here. So you guys are going to come up with 10 ways. I want to challenge you to come up with all 10 ways that are possible solutions, okay? They don't have to be probable for this problem, okay? So we're going to set the timer, 3 minutes on your mark. Get set.
In the microphone?
Go. Yeah.
Garbage bag.
Uber.
Keep a Walmart bag Lyft? In the car for all
write
my trash.
Down,
oh, Uber.
Make Kylie bring in some of her toys.
Okay,
yep.
Good.
Keeping the kids cleaning the cars, especially Kylie.
And they're going to eat in the car. You don't like that, but that's life.
No eating in the car.
Okay.
I'll drive with my shoes. I can't drive with high heels on. I can't.
Remember, no judging. Just put the ideas out there.
No high heels in the car. And perhaps, I don't know.
Good. You guys are doing a really good job.
How about
shop vac? Keep one somewhere. I don't know.
How about an industrial vac? prepaid car washes?
Is this true? You have a shop to do that?
They don't want to work on your car.
Wait, are we?
No judging. Just put the ideas on the board.
No judging.
You guys have a minute and a half left.
Okay.
I would say the music.
Said the music. we could.
Blood pressure pills?
Blood pressure pills. Okay, good.
How
many do we have left? Two? Three?
Yep.
Two. Okay.
Well, she's going to have that in the car. Never mind. I don't really know. I mean,
don't run out of steam.
Nope.
37 seconds.
I'm no milk products. Well, that's.
Well, then that'll cause a screaming baby.
Okay.
So that would. Yeah.
One more. You can do it.
Wake up early and clean your car.
Okay, you got it. Nice.
That's gonna
wow,
happen.
You guys. 18 seconds left. Let's give them a hand. That was so good. That was so good. So, that's what brainstorming looks like. Now, did we solve the problem yet?
No.
No. But did we have fun? Yeah, and do we have possible solutions? We have some groundwork laid for some possible solutions. Now, some of these obviously are not going to work, right? But we have some groundwork laid, and we're having fun. Are they on the same team? Yeah. Did they come up here on the same team? Questionable.
There's right? a little distance between us.
They came up here arguing pretty much, right? I mean, it was civil, but they were arguing. And now they're on the same team, and they're coming up with solutions to solve this as a team. Okay, now they still have differing opinions about what clean is, and on the personality scale for organized, yeah. Were you like way up here?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, okay. And
his
were you
toothbrushes,
kind of,
he wants them in a row, and mine are like everywhere. I've got them all over the bed, and just, yeah, so I'm comfortable with clutter.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, so we have differing personalities. We're not going to change their personalities. That's not what we're aiming for here. Okay, so we're just trying to find a solution, and you guys came up with 10. Good work. Okay, step 6. This is where we actually get to judge and evaluate. Okay, so here's where you go through, and it can be a difficult step, but I want you guys, and here's one way to do it. I want you to rate on a scale of 1 to 10 how viable this solution is.
And you guys rate them individually, and what we're going to do is get the average of those two. So for example, what was the first?
Uber.
How viable is that solution?
About a 5.
Nothing. That's
okay,
not
it's a
happening.
Zero.
Yes.
So a 2.5.
Okay.
So it's not really high up on the list of solutions. Okay, right. What else?
Garbage bags.
That could work. Just have one right there, and I just put all my trash in it. So
zero. Good.
Yes, because my trash goes in the door.
So maybe something that collects stuff. Like right. Maybe it doesn't even have to be garbage bags. It could be like a laundry basket.
Just a Walmart bag.
Something
okay. like that.
So good.
So 0 to 10.
Oh, that's perfect for me. 10. I say a 10 on my
okay.
chart. Yeah.
What do you think?
I would say that would be a 7.
Okay. So,
good. 8-ish. Yeah.
Okay. Kylie cleaning the car.
She could take her backpack and her toys in, but I just have to make her do it. I can't say, okay.
I would.
She can carry in her cars. She can carry in her backpack and her lunchbox and her.
I would say that's probably an 8.5 myself. 9.
What do you think?
I mean, yeah, if I stick to it, that's my problem. Just. Okay.
So maybe we need a strategy for that, right?
Oh, no.
So,
yes, it is. She can do it.
A 9?
Yeah. I mean, that's easy
nine.
To...
9? Okay, 9. What's the next one?
No eating in the car?
That's not going to happen.
So what? 0 to 10, what do you say?
Like, never, because...
0, okay.
The kids
zero
are,
for you.
Yeah, they're, like, screaming, they're hungry. Okay. You know, we're on a...
But you like that solution.
I mean, I'll try sometimes.
I believe there could be some boundaries.
Yeah, maybe not certain foods.
Yep.
Okay.
Certain foods, maybe
certain
like
foods.
Like ex-nay on the no yogurt cereal.
Okay. They don't take cereal and milk in the car.
Macaroni and cheese.
Okay, so you certain know. Food groups.
I think like Chick-fil-A is fine because it doesn't make a mess and they don't like sauce, so it's just like chicken nuggets and French fries, and that's easy to wipe
okay.
out the car.
So like an agreement between you, what food groups are
yeah.
okay?
So eliminating certain food groups in the car.
Mm-hmm.
How viable?
Just no ketchup, stuff like that. And that is very vile. That's easy.
Okay.
Yes.
So eliminating okay. groups like ketchup and cereal and milk. So now, what? 0 to 10, what are we rating it?
I'd put that at a 10.
How about for you?
Yeah, because they don't heat sauce.
Okay, so go ahead and put 10. That's so eliminating certain food. Notice how we kind of shifted that one a little bit. It was no food in the car. Now we've agreed that it could be no certain food groups in the car. Okay. All right. What else?
Do we rate that?
They said a 10.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
easy. I can't read my writing. So the next one, I guess, would be industrial vacuum cleaner.
No. Whatever. I think, I go by that little car wash.
0 to 10. What do you think?
I mean, I say that's a 10. I'd buy a vac and put it out.
I mean, he could do that if that, well, maybe I should. Does that sound like bad wife or something? Yeah,
I'd be glad to do it.
I mean, he'd be glad to do it.
He'd be glad to do it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So we're going to put
10 if he does
that,
it.
Yep, we're going to put that as a 10.
10? Okay, what else?
Prepaid car washes.
But that's just the outside, right?
Yeah, but you can.
I can go through the outside.
Although I put that back down as a 1. I don't want her driving through a car wash.
Because then I get the how many curves did you run over today question. Yeah.
Extremely.
I just got that one yesterday.
Yep.
Okay, so you don't want her driving through the car wash, and you made a point that it's just the outside. Unless
so that wouldn't help.
But they have vacuum cleaners.
So 0 to 10, will you guys rate it? What do you think?
What do you think?
Let's just put it down as a 4.
Okay.
All right.
That sounds good.
What else?
Blood pressure pills?
Whatever.
I put that as a 10.
What's next?
Milk products.
Okay. That's not going to happen because I have a 19-month-old that's... She doesn't take a bottle, no. She has a cup that has milk in it. Yes.
So then, what is the worry behind the milk products?
Oh, they tend to spill and sour the seats. And
well, sometimes I just leave a cup in the car every now and then. It gets under the seat and you don't see it, and then...
Right. Yeah. So maybe the trash bag idea would help with that?
Mm-mm.
No? Mm-mm. It wouldn't help with that?
No, my little one tends to throw things, and they end up
in the back seat.
Different areas.
Is there a way of maybe putting like seat covers or?
Oh, you used to have feedback. There was that. She does pretty good. Her car seat has cup holders now, so she's learning to put it in the cup holder.
Maybe a more awareness of milk products and where that bottle went that she threw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that type of stuff.
So it may not be the solution that we end up like saying that's the golden gem here, but but that one is something maybe you can gain awareness of.
Yes.
Yeah, and she's getting better at it too.
She is getting better.
Putting
in the cup holder.
In her holder. Okay.
Every day.
Okay. What else?
Waking up earlier in the day and cleaning your car bright and early.
I would love to say that that's going to happen, but that is a 0 on my part. Yeah.
Okay. Let's mark that. I mean, 0.
Cleaning it after they're in the house watching, you know, nursery rhymes, then I could go out there. I wouldn't mind doing it then.
Well, the solution is you have baby monitors, and I can get you a bigger robe.
He just don't want me to go out when everybody's awake in our neighborhood because I'm in my robe. That's the problem. He's ashamed.
That's a whole nother... We could have done 10 reasons about the robe.
About the robe. Okay.
We're just going to leave that one.
No, but that can happen afterwards.
Okay, so this one is a 0 for waking up early.
Yes, but not after I get them home from school. They get in the house.
Okay, I'll give it a 1.
Okay, so it's a 0.5.
Ain't going to happen.
So let's now look at the solutions you have that are viable.
Which ones were, like, 9, 10?
Specific foods, Kylie cleaning, and garbage bags.
Okay.
And perhaps...
Shop vac.
Yep.
Industrial. Yep.
Gives an excuse to go to Home Depot.
Good excuse. Awesome. So of those, what... Because the next part, everybody's, you know, I don't know about this one, because, like, I'm locked into something. Really, this is just something we're going to agree to try.
Right.
So what are you going to agree to try in the next couple of weeks?
Well,
what do you see viable?
The only one here that really involves me is the industrial vacuum cleaner.
See? See what I'm working with?
I'm gonna punt on this one.
Are you going to punt? Okay. What do you feel like you would like to try?
I mean, the food, that's easy because we kind of do that already. What was the other one? We said
Kylie and garbage.
Oh yeah, that one. Just making her do that, not being like, you know, I can't carry that. And then I'm like, okay. And then piles up, you know, Barbies and all that stuff.
Okay.
So that's easy to do.
That's good.
Yeah.
Now, maybe how can we make that kind of strategically, because it'd be forgetting, right, or her not being aware of it, or you...
Like with Kai, my little girl, I feel like every time we're in the car, just remember to get your stuff out or something like that, which I've started that, like with her book bag, but I don't stick to it.
Perfect.
Because she's, you know...
So you had two solutions that I think you might be able to meld together into this one. Mm-hmm. So if you had the bags, that could be a visual reminder to have Kylie get her stuff too, and you kind of like model it for her, and you're doing it with her. So you're grabbing some of the stuff that you would get, and she's getting her stuff. Mm-hmm. Is that a possibility?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yep.
Okay.
It is.
So can we kind of meld those two and put that on step 7, that we're going to try that solution over the next couple of weeks?
We're going to buy garbage
Do you carry her in, like when you get there, you get her in, you carry her inside? You know, you have her,
she's one.
Yeah, so you have everything you're carrying in. And
yeah, so it's tough.
And it's easy to forget,
Take my
side on this.
It's tough, and I think he can recognize that it is tough, right? Because he's on your side. But we still agree that we want less clutter in the car.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so step 7, we've chosen a solution to try. We're going to end our demo here, and you guys can complete the rest together. Let's give them a hand.
Thank you, guys.
That was awesome. Very, very good. Now, we did that not because everyone has trouble with clutter in the car, although a lot of us probably do, but because we want you to learn this model. Okay, and those steps can be kind of some of the most difficult steps to do independently, so we wanted to model that for you, and they did such a fantastic job. So we're not going to have time to go through all 10 steps today, but we'd like you to take a moment to go through steps 5, 6, and 7, and so we'll turn the music on, and we want you guys to be strategic about it like that. Set a timer, have fun with it, brainstorm, put solutions on the board. You're on the same team. Okay, no judging in step 5. Ready? Go. We'll give you 4 minutes. So 3 minutes for step 5, and then you guys can evaluate and agree on something to try.
All right, everyone. We will let you guys go longer, but of course we don't want to go a super long time. So so hopefully you got through step five and did your brainstorm, and you maybe looked at some solutions to try. But for the rest of the steps, go ahead and, you know, we'll give this to you as homework so that you can maybe look at these things, because you might see it as valuable. Hopefully you picked something that, you know, really would make your life better together. So agree on maybe a time to come back to this week or later on, you know, maybe today or whatever. But it's definitely a good idea to finish this and work on solutions to try.
So we'll tell you what steps 8, 9, and 10 are, and then you'll finish that for homework. Step 8, it's kind of similar to step 3, which was list the ways that you each contribute to the problem. Well, step 8 is agree how you're each going to work toward the solution. So again, own your part. Here's what I'll do to help this out. And keep in mind, kind of like the demo couple that we had up here, it might be an issue that is more one-sided, or it's something that requires more action on one person's part. But for step 8, both partners need to talk about what they're going to do to make the solution better. So, you know, maybe the husband in this situation could say, well, what I'm going to do to make the solution better is I'm going to not get on you so much about it, and then I'm going to work on just, and Brother Sutton gave this as a possible solution, accepting the clutter. Right? Even though she's working on her end to have less clutter, he might be able to work on accepting the clutter. So step 8, you own your own part of the solution. Okay, here's what I'm going to do to help out with this solution. Step 9, you're setting up another meeting to discuss the progress. And that's an important step, because this is not a permanent solution. This is just something to try. So if it doesn't work out for the next, say, 2 weeks or a month, depending on what the problem is you're working on, then you can have another meeting to discuss the progress or try a different solution, okay? So that's a cool part of this, is it's not permanent. We're just working on this together as a team and trying to find solutions that might work.
Also, it helps if you agree, you know, there's a common understanding, we're just trying this. There's more, it makes it easier for both partners to go in together and, you know, and be okay with trying something, because a lot of people feel, oh, this is permanent. I don't want to do anything permanent. And so they just won't go into conflict resolution or try to fix it, because they worry that, you know, they'll be stuck with the bad end of the deal or something. So it's just a try.
And then step 10, you know, a good way to incorporate the rewarding each other for progress is during the daily dialogue. Because you're going to be doing that every day or more days than not. And so you could say, what went well in our relationship today is that I noticed that you've been really working on decreasing the clutter in the car and you know, bringing the bags out there. And then maybe conversely, I noticed that you're not on me as much about the car, and that I feel more at peace about that. You know, and so you're sharing that on a daily basis, praising each other for progress. Okay, so that's the 10-step model. Today, our hope is that it's less about solving this particular issue that you're working on and more about learning a model that you can use to solve other issues. Okay, so that's the hope. You guys think this is something you might be able to use, even if it's like a version of it and not the whole 10 steps every time? Yeah? Okay, good. So that's the homework for you. Finish the 10 steps. There's also how to take a time out. We talked about that one. And then now we realize not all the issues that you probably brought up today are car clutter issues. And so if it is a deeper issue and it might merit going through the steps of seeking and granting forgiveness, we didn't include that in your workbook because that's something that we recommend going through with a neutral third party. And so if it's something that you're like, man, we need some help getting through this, it's not something we can just solve in a 3-minute brainstorm session. It might be more of a tumor issue that you need to use very fine-tuned tools and instruments to get that tumor out. And so if that's the case, there are solutions for that. And we actually have a process. It's 6 steps for seeking forgiveness and 6 steps for granting forgiveness and working through an issue that's more delicate. And it takes a long time sometimes. We'll work through those steps with a couple for several sessions. And so we don't want to make light of some of the issues that may have come up today, because it may not be as fun and funny as car clutter issues, right? So this model is something that can work on kind of some of those easy and medium issues. But if it's a very complicated, layered issue that involves history and maybe even a breach in the relationship, then that's something that you can use those steps for seeking and granting forgiveness and maybe seek some counsel for that. Talk to Pastor Sutton and see what he recommends for you. Okay? Any questions about the homework?
Questions?
Thoughts, comments?
No questions.
Okay.
Good.
All right. We're going to move on to the next section. And this one is dating. And all the ladies said, yeah! All right. So we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on this section, although it's important, because we want to make sure to get you out at a decent time as well. But there are so many studies that show that the frequency of date nights ought to be at least one date per week. It is vital for boosting the quality of a marriage.
There's some really interesting studies about this. I mean, dating, we're telling you guys to go on dates. That's awesome, right? But one date a week is vital. Wilcox and Due did a really interesting survey of tons of different marriages, and they found that couples who go on regular date nights, so wives who have couple time less than once a week, are 4 times more likely to report above average levels of divorce proneness than wives who have had a date once a week. So that's significant. So wives who don't feel like they're getting that couple time one-on-one, and remember that dating and couple time, it's not with your kids, even though we love kids, and I love my kid. Dating is couple time to catch up, to talk, to keep that the vitality in your marriage. You know, it's a weekly, daily thing that you do. And so dating is one of these very important things that we can do to help us. The same question was asked to husbands. Husbands who have couple time less than once a week are 2 times more likely to report above average levels of divorce proneness than husbands who have couple times less or at least once a week. So you could see that dating is such a huge, and this was a massive study, dating is very, very important for all of our marriages.
Yes, so we make that bold recommendation to you. And I know, especially with kids and ministry and jobs, it can be hard to put that time aside. But keep in mind, dating doesn't have to be an all-day event. It doesn't even have to be a 2-hour event going out for dinner. Yeah. It can be a 10-minute event once the kids are down for bed and you plan some couple time together. If that's all you can get in for that week, do it.
And automatically people think dating has to be expensive. I mean, that's kind of my, like, oh, man, we don't have the money. But it really doesn't. You can go for a walk. That's a date. You know, you can go take a little trip or car ride to the mountains and go on a trail together. There's the 1,000 things you can do if you're creative and you get out of your box to be with each other and enjoy it. Chris and I really, our quality of relationship really improved, like, what, 5-6 years ago, when we started backpacking together. And she liked hiking, and I liked camping. We're like, hey, why don't we just do that kind of the same thing? Why don't we just go backpacking? And so we started doing that. That was some of the best conflict resolution times we've ever had. Because there's something, like Chris has said a little bit ago, the stimulation between both of your sides of your brain help with processing information. And so as we're hiking and sweating and having a good time in the mountains, we're talking about difficult issues and problem solving, and we've had some of our best, most amazing moments in the mountains. Now, it might not be hiking that you guys like, but and if you don't have some sort of recreational activity you do together, start being creative. Like, look at what you could do as a couple. oftentimes it's like the guy does this, the girl does this, and then they go out to eat together. But try to find something that's not just going out to dinner together, that's activity and working together as a team or whatever that looks like, but it will really improve. I know I said that, but it really will. So dating is so important.
Yes. We'd like you actually to turn to your spouse, and we'll only take like a minute for this, but I want you to share with your spouse your favorite date that you guys have ever been on. And it can be something extravagant or it can be something simple, but just something that stands out in your mind as, man, this has been my most favorite date that we've had together. So go ahead and share that with your spouse. We'll turn the music on for a minute.
All right, so we can't spend too much time, but normally we would actually go through the dating exercise in your workbook with you, and you would go through all your dating ideas. You'd brainstorm, you'd put down the cost, how much you think this date might cost, and then we'd have you schedule for homework, or actually in that moment, we'd have you schedule 2 months in your calendar, because we're calendar people, of dates. It doesn't have to be expensive, but something that you do once a week together, like walking or going to the Bahamas. Doesn't matter, but...
once a week.
Yeah, do something with your spouse. If you could do that, that would be really cool.
Can I just say that it was really fun to look up and look around and see you guys reminiscing about your favorite dates. The looks on your faces, it was very similar across the room. It was just like this like pleasant, calm, kind of a reminiscent, at peace look on each of your faces. So do that more often. Reminisce about your favorite time together, your favorite times. That was awesome. Yes.
Can you give us a couple examples of how you have a 10-minute date?
Yes. Good, yeah. So a 10-minute date, it's implied that it's usually going to be at home. And typically because it's a family who has children, then, you know, you need alone couple time together. And so probably when they're napping or in bed. Okay. So yes, at home, a game. You brought up a game. That's a good idea. Sometimes it can be sitting down and doing your daily dialogue, but making it special. So instead of just like while you're brushing your teeth and getting in bed and doing your daily dialogue, maybe it's, hey, tonight, let's light a candle and turn on some music. And we're going to sit down together. And how about I will rub your back while we do our daily dialogue? A 10-minute date right there. Okay. So, and it can be anything. That's just an example. I mean, you asked for an example, but Amal, that sounds like my kind of 10-minute date.
This is her idea, you can see.
So come up with ideas like that, though. And if that's like, doesn't sound like your kind of 10-minute date, tell your spouse, what's a good 10-minute date for you? Okay?
And it doesn't have to be 10 minutes, of course, because you're trying to do it once a week, so you could find time, of course, some time in the week. Maybe they have a long nap. You have an hour. Who knows? But you have to be creative, and you have to be intentional.
Yes.
I think that's really the point we're trying to drive home. You have to be intentional with this thing. There is an interesting quote. I can't remember who said it, but it was something to this nature, like if you put a boat into the Mississippi River, you're going to flow south. And he says, without a good deal of paddling or gas in your motor or wind power, you're going to drift south. And says, which is a problem if you want to go north. So occasional paddling is not going to work. It's the daily discipline, or the discipline of, you know, consistent practice. And it doesn't matter how much the two people love each other in the boat. It doesn't matter about how many commitments they've made to each other. Your boat will head south without paddling.
Yeah.
So, yes, sir.
We live in the south.
It's a metaphor. Yeah, we want to stay more north, right?
We got to stay culturally relevant here.
Yeah, right? You still can go north while being in the south, right?
All right. So any questions, reflections about dating? We're going to kind of breeze right through because we want to make sure to get you out at a decent time today. So any questions or reflections about dating? Thank you for bringing up that one question. That's excellent. Okay, we're going to move to the next section. And this section is a very sensitive topic, especially, it could be for any couple, but especially for couples who may have a history, whether independently as a child or as an adult, with trauma. So if that's the case for you, if you have trauma and today feels a bit triggering, be sure to stay very open with your spouse about that while we're talking about the sensitive topic of sex and affection. To start off this section, and it kind of is neat because it's on the heels of our last section where we had you talk about your favorite date, what we'd like you to do now, and you might want to spread out a bit more away from other couples, but we want you to share with your spouse the most romantic memory that you've had as a couple. And remember, romance doesn't mean just sexual intimacy, so it might be different for one member of the couple or the other, but share with each other what's been your most romantic memory that you've shared as a couple. So we'll turn the music up very loud. So go ahead and turn to each other and share that.
Thank you for turning the music up loudly. I told Carissa, I was like, you know, it would be hilarious to do some sort of song, right, just on that one, you know, do something like, can you feel the love tonight? So, of course, this is a very intimate, sometimes very difficult subject for some people. Because, well, we don't talk very openly about it ever, right? Hopefully you're talking about it with your spouse, but it's something very, you know, close that we don't talk about. And something we have in a marriage seminar, we have to talk about are the threats to a thriving intimacy between you and your partner. It's so, so, so important. There's three really big threats. The first one would be abuse, sexual or emotional trauma. We live in a fallen world. Things are stuff happens to people of all ages, and this is a very difficult subject. And sometimes people are hurt, and they don't know what to do, and they are very triggered maybe during when a man and wife are being intimate, and it really can damage trust and damage the relationship, and it's very, very difficult for those individuals. For that sort of situation, we would really recommend a neutral third party or a counselor, really, to help them with tools. There are tools to help people through these situations. So if you had that sort of thing and it's really affecting you and your sex life or your emotional intimacy, this is very, very important to address, because it will come up later on in your marriage, generally, I've seen, if it's not addressed. So this is something we highly recommend that you talk to a professional about. There's, of course, talk to your pastor. There's a lot of very, very skilled counselors that can help you through this. So that's what we'd recommend. Also, adultery. Obviously, right? An emotional affair or a sexual affair. Like, these are very, very huge problems. If there is something currently happening in your life, we highly recommend that you find a counselor, talk to your pastor about people that you can see. This is a very difficult thing to work through. And I know it's a little heavy in here, but it's something that has to be talked about, because it's something that happens in our lives, in our churches. We've seen it over and over and over again. And so reach out to your pastor. You don't have to fight it alone. You don't have to try to figure it out on your own. Find the tools, find the counselors, find the professional that could be on your side to help you work through, because there can be healing, and it can be much better than it is right now, and even better than before. But it takes work, and it takes some time.
All right, so the last one, we call these the three A's of threats to thriving intimately. The last one is addiction. And there are all sorts of addiction that can be a threat to thriving intimately. But the addiction that we see pop up the most, especially in the church, is the use of pornography. The statistics are not any better in conservative church circles than they are in the world. And that might be a shock, but that's done on conservative church groups throughout the United States, at least. And that's what we're seeing. And we're going to actually cite some of those statistics. There are three tools, and we want to go into this one more in depth, because whereas the first two may not affect as many couples, the third one affects a lot of couples. And so we want to talk about...
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is our experience, of course, in counseling, yeah, but also the counselors that we talk to, that you guys have probably all know their names, they would also agree with this, that this, yeah, is a huge issue. There have been studies that have done that pornography addiction thrives in very left churches, like, you know, no standards, no holiness, nothing churches, and also very rigid churches, like, you know, farther right, and people who hold the Bible to be inerrant and all this other stuff. Yes. And I think the reason why is people are so ashamed to reach out for help, mm-hmm, and yeah, they keep their sin completely quiet. They don't confess their sins. And so it's just a hidden sin, and they can't feel that they could talk about it without being, you know, ostracized and everything else. So go ahead.
Yes. So talking about it is essential. There are pornography addiction especially, but any type of addiction, you could apply this. It stands on a three-legged stool, okay? And that three-legged stool is accessibility, affordability, and anonymity, okay? So think about that. Of all types of addictions that are out there, pornography is probably the most accessible. You could all find it right now on your phones, okay? It's in your pocket. It's very affordable. It's free for the most part until people are very addicted and they need more, and so they pay for it. And it's anonymous. Most other addictions, drugs, I mean, there's risk involved, right? You have to, like, make yourself known in order to get a hold of it.
Go to a buyer.
And in the past, pornography wasn't as anonymous. You had to go to a pornography shop, or you had to buy a magazine. And now pornography use is anonymous. You can do it without being found out. So how do we kick this three-legged stool? How do we solve this issue when it's so accessible, so affordable, and you can be anonymous? Well, you can put some safeguards on your phone so that it's not as accessible. How many of you have ever heard of, like, Covenant Eyes? Yep, okay. And we recommend that. That's great. That's like a blocker, right? But there are ways around that. And if you're addicted, you're going to find a way around that. And so that's usually not as helpful, something that just blocks. It's always going to be affordable. We really can't help that at all. So the anonymity piece is the piece that we have to tackle, okay? If this is something you struggle with or have struggled with in the past and you haven't shared it with your spouse, you have to break the anonymity in order for this to be solved. It won't be solved if you remain anonymous. You have to talk with your spouse about it, and you have to get accountability. Accountability is the key for solving the anonymity piece. I wanted to cite a few of those statistics just because it brings it home, I think, for a lot of people who might be feeling like they're the only one struggling. So this was a Southern Baptist organization, much like ours. And like Adam said, we can attest to a lot of these statistics because we work with people, apostolic people who struggle with this. But 7 out of 10 lay leaders in this survey in the church admitted to visiting pornographic websites at least one time a week. And these were ushers, Sunday school teachers, et cetera, lay leaders in the church. 5 out of 10 pastors, full-time pastors, admitted to the exact same thing. 65% of all men sitting on the church pews met diagnostic criteria for a sexual addiction. So in the DSM, or it's like the ICD, if you're familiar with that, it's a diagnostic manual, basically. And there's a diagnostic criteria for meeting a sexual addiction diagnosis. And they found, 65% of all men, and get this, 35% of all women. So it's not just a male issue, met that diagnostic criteria. And then in the 18 to 35 category, so millennials, it was 75% of men and 74% for women. So it was the same. So men and women, especially millennials, and I think it's probably going to be even way worse for Gen Z. And we don't have statistics on that yet. I'm sure that's out there, but not in conservative church circles yet. But it's a problem, guys. And it's not any better in the church.
One of the things that stuck with me that Jason Carr said, I know you're familiar with him. He says, I've never seen someone who's been in church and then became addicted just go to the altar and drop it by themselves. And that's kind of a sobering thing. We have to pray about it. We need God in this. But we also need that accountability to break the addiction. Yes. And we need to find help, pastors, whoever that, you know, definitely recommend going to your pastor and finding that support, accountability, and direction in order to get rid of this problem. And if we don't talk about it, we're not going to heal our churches.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I mean, we're talking about people who have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And while there are people who come into church and are healed of everything and they quit smoking and drinking and they quit watching pornography all at once because they were never in church to begin with and they just have this big experience and they're completely healed, people who grew up in church and then struggle with this secret sin for so long, I mean, Brother Carr said it and we agree as well, we've never seen that happen where they just get over it in one altar call.
And I think the lie from the devil is that, oh, I'm gonna stop it. I'm gonna quit. And they do that for 10 years. Yeah. You know, what kind of victories could they have? What kind of, you know, what is that holding people back from mm-hmm. accomplishing what God has for them in church
right.
and in his kingdom? And how could God really prosper a person that can't be forthright with themselves, right? Because it's a lie we tell ourselves. So let's be real about this very real trick from the devil, really.
Yes.
It's really attacking us.
Proverbs 22 verse 3 says, a prudent person, that's so someone who is thinking, foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. So let's be prudent about this. We want to continue to preach that we need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost to wipe out carnality. But let's take advantage of the resources that we have and break the anonymity. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. So we encourage that, starting with your spouse. It's very sensitive, so we do recommend that you also incorporate a neutral third party. So ask Pastor Sutton what he would recommend and who he would recommend. I'm sure he has mentors and accountability partners that he can recommend to you. And then if he recommends counseling, then that might be in order as well. We did include in your packet this neat handout called Steps to Overcoming Sexual Temptation. And it's not only a one-time handout, but if you flip to so it's like the fourth page of that particular handout. It's called the Personal Accountability Form. This is a form that we use with a lot of clients who have struggled with something like this. And we have them fill out this personal accountability form weekly and submit it to their accountability partner. It's not always their spouse. Sometimes the spouse doesn't want to be that person who receives the form every week, and sometimes they do. But they need an accountability partner. So we recommend that they fill out this accountability form. And it's not just about have you looked at pornography, but it's about all sorts of personal accountability. So we recommend that that you fill this out and submit it to your spouse or an accountability partner on a weekly basis.
Because it brings up, it helps with trust.
Yeah.
Because if the trust has been broken, you can rebuild by being transparent. And by like showing that, okay, I'm working through this, I want to work through this, and you will get... you'll make progress that way.
There's also on the back of your packet, the very back, it says Marriage Enrichment Resource Card. And there's a lot of book recommendations there. A lot of the books are books that you received last night. But down toward the middle and the bottom, there's all sorts of books and resources for sexual trauma. And then there's books and resources for when there's been an affair or a breach of some sort, and for pornography and sexual addiction. And so take advantage of those resources there. Specifically, we want to emphasize this one in particular. We mentioned Covenant Eyes. Covenant Eyes is a good one because it has that blocker, but it's not as great on reporting for accountability's sake. It blocks a lot of things, but it doesn't always pull up particular, because it only pulls up flagged sites, and not some sites aren't flagged, and people figure that out and they work ways around it. So we do like Covenant Eyes for some of what it offers, but the one that we have found that has worked well for most of our clients that deal with this is called Ever Accountable. The neat thing about Ever Accountable, it's a software you could put on any of your devices. It doesn't block anything, so we're not dealing with the accessibility leg on the stool, but it reports absolutely everything that was visited. And so anything that came up, whether you clicked on it or not, it reports it. And so it's not because you're a child and you know, you need to have every single item that you do pull up on your phone reported, but it builds trust, and trust builds intimacy.
We also know a lot of people who put these on their phones just to be an example. Yeah. And if that's you, like you don't have an issue with this, but you want to be able to tell the young men in your church, hey, I have this on your phone, you should too. And create an accountability sort of culture. I think that would be very valuable because, you know, this really could destroy lives and people could walk away. And you could be that one person that's an example that they can look up to and say, well, he does it. I'm gonna find the courage to do it as well. And so we recommend that. I know preachers who have preached that and said, I have an accountability on my phone. So they said, I don't trust myself. I was like, wow, that's being very humble.
Yeah, so. Yeah. We like this quote here. A relationship is like a house. When a light bulb burns out, you did not go and buy a new house. You fix the light bulb. And this could be something that might be causing a lot of issues because if you don't have light, man, that's going to cause some frustration in the house, especially when it's dark for 12 hours of the day. And so replace the light bulb. And that might require work and skill and tools. But don't just, you know, throw the marriage away because of an addiction to pornography. We see that happen too. But work on replacing that light bulb, and it might take a lot of work. And so we want to put that out there. This is not easy, but it's worth it. And you can build the intimacy in your marriage. We've seen so many couples say, we had a good marriage, then it went downhill. Now that we're healing from this, our marriage is better than it ever was. Our intimacy is better than it ever was. And that is the neatest testimony to hear from folks. So we wanted to put that out there. There's an activity in your workbook, and we're not going to have time to go through it today, but we really, really, really want you to do this one as homework. I know we're giving you a lot of homework, but think of it as just tools and resources to use for a long time. So the marriage retreat doesn't end today, okay? So there's an activity called the expression of intimacy. And this one's so good. It's funny. We actually use this one with premarital couples too, because we want them comfortable talking about intimacy. And what page is it, you guys, by the way? 25. Thank you. So obviously there are questions that are more appropriate for premarital couples, and you'll see that listed there. But there's questions for married couples as well. And it also draws a distinction between affection and intimacy, because affection has a lot to do with love languages, and intimacy has to do with emotional, physical, all sorts of connection. And so we want you guys talking about sex, but we don't just want you talking about sex. We want you talking about affection and everything that leads up to the bedroom. There's a good book along those lines by Kevin Lehman called Sex Begins in the Kitchen. I think it's on your resource card. It's such a good one. It outlines all sorts of dynamics around intimacy in general. And he also wrote a good one called Sheet Music. That one is required reading for all of our premarital couples at the Rock Church. And it's good for married couples too. So we recommend both of those books. All right, so homework, lots of homework. Are you guys looking forward to that homework piece, The Expression of Intimacy? Yeah?
It's a really good one to talk about, to get the conversation going. That's what we're really trying to do here. We don't really fix anything here, right? But it's giving you tools and conversation starters so that you can make the marriage as good as it can be. Because really, the enemy of great is good. And so that's what we're trying to fight. We want excellence, right?
All right. Any questions? Okay, so we want to make sure that we're closing up here very soon, so we're actually going to skip Family of Origin, and it's a really cool piece, so I'm bummed that we're skipping it, but you do have all of the workbook items for Family of Origin, and especially if you come from completely different families, and a lot of us do, it's really important for you guys to go over these items under Family of Origin. And what it requires is going through your couple and family maps from your report and talking about the flexibility and the closeness in your marriage and then talking about how you might adjust some of that if you're wanting to adjust it so that you are closer or less rigid or, you know, more flexible or or less flexible if it's a chaotic situation.
You might also, because there's a lot of homework, you might even plan to talk about some of this stuff on a date night.
Yes.
You know, take this with you or stay at home and say, hey, we're going to go over our family of origin stuff tonight. So.
Yes. Thank you for flipping through all the slides so quickly. Sorry. So we're going to skip that part. But if you do have questions about your couple and family maps, because it can be a more layered part of the report, and you do want to reach out and talk with us, feel free. That's fine. And we can help you understand that a little bit better. Or if you just wanted to, you know, had a personal question about your family of origin, we could talk about that. All right. So we're going to be closing up here in a moment, but go ahead and turn to it is page 43, even though there aren't 43 pages in your workbook, but page 43, Achieving Your Goals Together. We want to give you a couple of minutes. We want you to think about the last 2 days and how we've been talking a lot about growth areas. How can you use your strengths to strengthen your growth areas? And we want you each to write down 3 personal goals. If you don't get all 3, it's fine. But write down a goal or 2 or 3 in each of these sections. Personal goals, couple goals, and family goals that you have. And you can, if you'd like to think of it this way, you can write down a kind of a short-term goal, something you'd like to accomplish within the next 90 days. And then a long-term goal, so something you want to accomplish within the next year or 5 years. And you can do that in each of those sections. So we're going to turn up the music for a little bit, and we're going to give you a chance to write down what are some things that you want to be working on. Remember, intentionality is key. So go ahead and write that down, and then talk about that with each other. Just share your goals, okay?
right. Hopefully you got some of those goals down. Now, are any of you surprised by some of your partner's goals? Or have you shared them with your partner yet?
Okay, we're seeing some smiles and some head nodding. Okay.
That's good.
All right, so if you didn't get a chance to finish this, we recommend that you do finish it. And have that couples discussion at the bottom, talking about the goals that are most important to you right now. And specifically this question, and we put it up here, how do your spouse's goals complement or compete with your goals? And so be thinking about that. You know, can we accomplish each other's goals together? Can we support each other in accomplishing individual goals? What will it take? How do we need to adjust our timelines so that we can accomplish these goals together? All right. So we're going to close up here, but in closing, we wanted to put up the summary of all the topics that we've gone over in the last 2 days. And we want to ask you, what stands out for you over the last 2 days? And there's no wrong answer to this question. It's just kind of a way for you to process and have a takeaway. But what will you take away from the retreat that will be most helpful to you, either individually or in your marriage, in your family? So we'd like you to share. What's a takeaway for you? Awesome. Yeah, good. The daily dialogue. Good. Good takeaway. Yeah. Good. What else?
Thank you.
So good, yes. Yes. Good. 10-minute dates. That's a good takeaway. That you brought up babysitter, and it reminded me we did a Facebook Live with a group. It was a young marrieds group from a church, and we talked about this issue that so many of them have with not having a babysitter. And we put this out there, and they were like, cool, and they ran with it. So we talked about the idea.
And it's working.
It's working for them. We talked about the idea of having a babysitting date night co-op. And so, like, four couples got together, and they got in groups of three or four couples, and all the kids would go to one couple's house one night while all the other couples went on a date. And then the next week, a different couple watched all the kids while all the other couples went on a date. And so once a month or so, you're the babysitter. And then on all the other 3 weeks, you get a date night. So that is working out for them beautifully. So we recommend, if that's something that you struggle with, finding a babysitter.
So be creative.
Yeah, be creative.
You know, you could get around, even though it could be a problem, you'll find a solution if you really want it.
Yeah. Other things that stood out for you, reflections, comments, something that you're going to take away? How about like two or three more people? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Good. Good. I'm glad that was a takeaway. Good. We hope that so many couples will take advantage of that accountability piece, whether you deal with this or not. We're all dealing with it because it's our culture throwing it in our face, right?
Yeah.
So accountability is a good takeaway. How about one other person?
Good.
Good. Good. So the 10-step model and dealing with it in a positive way, being on the same team. Good takeaway. Yeah.
So in closing, we wanted to make sure you guys had some additional resources. So if you ever stuck, need help, reach out to your pastor. He's a very connected man and has a lot of wisdom. So he's a good person to talk to about these things. Of course, this has probably been mentioned before. Consider finding a mentor group. Or mentoring, have a couple that have been married a long time, that have a vibrant relationship, talk to them about, you know, hey, would you help give us insight into our marriage. We also have a website. If you don't know, we also post almost daily on Instagram. It's difficult when we do this kind of thing. But we do a lot of the stuff that we've covered. We have commented on, so we do videos and things like that. So not to sound all salesy, but there is resources on there. And we interview a lot of people, too, and get their advice because, of course, a lot of you guys are experiencing marriage and you have a lot of good things to say. And so we encourage you to join the conversation. So you could find us at Dear Young Married Couple on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube as well. And also our website, we have a blog, we write, and stuff like that. So just to get a conversation going and be talking about it and to support each other, that's really what we're trying to do. You know, we're all in the body of Christ here together. We're working together for a common goal. And we're only as strong sometimes as our weakest link. And so if we can go into this world strongly, you know, with confident, godly confidence, we really can accomplish so much. So we want to encourage the body of Christ and, you know, to support each other in this. And then counseling. So we offer counseling, of course, but there's also a lot of other godly counselors that that I know your pastor is connected with that are awesome people, and we know them personally, and we love them. So reach out, seriously. If you're facing some of these issues that we talked about.
So. Yes. All right. We would like all of you, the very last item, we'd like you to think about a prayer request that you have for your marriage. And a prayer request that you would be comfortable with another couple in the church knowing and praying for you about. So not like maybe your deepest issue that you're not wanting to just like air, but a prayer request that you have for your marriage, and maybe it's one of your growth areas and you want to take that to the Lord and really try to work on that intentionally. We want you to write down that prayer request, and just to kind of give you a disclaimer, it is going to go to someone else in the room, so keep that in mind as you write it. But write down a prayer request that you have for your marriage, and it could be simple, just a one-liner.
You're not going to be sharing it in the mic. Don't worry.
Yeah, we won't ask you to come and be a demo couple.
But go ahead and write it down right now. All right, just a few more seconds.
And if you're done writing your prayer request, you can start this fun project. Go ahead and fold it into a paper airplane. When's the last time you folded a paper airplane? Decades ago. Yeah, you could put your name on it.
If you're willing to share your prayer request.
Yes.
But it's good to know who you're praying for, right?
Yeah. So fold your prayer request into a paper airplane. It can be a tiny airplane. It can be a big airplane. It can have cool wings. It doesn't have to be a skilled airplane.
All right, are you Almost done folding this.
Can we see your airplane? Looking good? Yeah, nice.
Nice. Not too many people are done here.
All right. Who has the best paper airplane? Do you think you have the best one? Ooh, you think you have the best one. Okay. If you absolutely cannot fold a paper airplane, you can crumple it up into a ball because we're just going to be doing some throwing here. All right. How many need like 20 more seconds to finish folding their airplane? Okay. Hurry, hurry. Finish folding. If you need to, you can just crumple it up in a ball.
See, the engineers are really struggling on this. Carefully folding it.
All right, so go ahead and stand up with your spouse. And we are going to count, and on the count of three, we'd like you to toss your airplane, and whoever's airplane you get to pray for that couple this week about their prayer request, okay? Ready? Okay. One, two, three. Glory,
hallelujah. It's to our God. Now make sure everyone has the prayer request.
Let's do it.